Well, this morning we're going to start on a teaching in the area. I don't know how long this will go, but we're going to talk on a subject here of wisdom. And really, standing from an important subject, wisdom is very much tied to the subject of faith and anything, walking with God. And as we go along, you'll see it really clearly. And you'll find out that lots of times this is where the failure of Christians, because, you know, the Bible talks, you know, we walk by faith and not by sight, and that's important, because we're going to find as we go into this teaching and look at it, wisdom is something we do, not just something we say. You know, we have all these, you go to a Chinese restaurant and they got a, you know, Confucius said something or something. You know, you break open the cookies and you have sayings. Sayings are wonderful, but they're worthless if they're not done. They're absolutely worthless. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how much you know. You know, it might impress somebody and they might think it's neat. But we need to understand something. We're living in a world today, and especially now, I don't hear it said as much, but among as general public, you don't hear it said. But there's something they used to, you know, say a lot as I was growing up, and they used to talk about common sense. And what's common sense? But I want you to understand this and that stuff. We use those terms in those days, but common sense, there is no such thing as common sense from the standpoint that it's just something you have. That does not exist. That's non-existent. People aren't born with common sense. Nobody's born with common sense. That's never happened. Common sense is taught. You're not born with it. You know, and because you can go from culture to culture in this world, and what is common sense to one ain't no common sense to the next one. And some of them, it don't make any sense what they do. You know, I've been in cultures already. I've visited countries and they're poor, and I can tell you why they're poor. Because of their common sense. What they use commonly and do keeps them poor. And they will stay poor as long as they continue their practices. And is one of the things is what we have to be careful here in America, because we're bringing people in from all these different countries and they want to come here and practice their cultures from their countries that made them poor, and that's why their country's poor. And they want to come here and live it. Well, we don't want them to come here and live it. I don't want them to come here and live it. If they want a poor country, stay in the poor country and do what the poor do. But don't come here. You know, we want to prosper. They come here and want the money, but it doesn't matter what they want. It's going to be what they do. It's going to determine. And we need to understand this. So we're going to look at this as about wisdom, because these things, dealing with area, is knowledge. And we're going to look at this stuff because it's hugely important dealing in this subject. Especially from a Christian standpoint, we need to, you know, because we see even in among Christianity, and even among, you know, the people within the same group, the same teachings, that you have groups of people that never succeed. They're in the same group as other people who are succeeding. Well, what's the difference? Why? What's the difference why some people have success and some don't? And we need to understand this. Thank God, God gives us each gifts and that stuff. But there's a difference. We need, there's a natural, we're in this world, and, it's like one guy, he made a statement. He said the righteousness of God still has to sweep floors, you know, make meals, you know, mow the yard, do other. You're in this natural world, you have things to do. There's a success. You could be a success over an area in the natural world, but in the spiritual world, never be successful at all. Not being able to bring things to pass, not being able to work it. So we need to understand this thing. This is one thing as we look at the of gaining wisdom from God, really will apply to both realms if you learn to walk in it. One of the things that is very hard for people is this, is because we have, is in the subject of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it's very hard because most people will only ever live, and most Christians will only ever live and walk in the seen realm. That's the only realm they'll walk in. They won't walk. They'll live their Christian life. You can teach them the subject of faith till you're blue in the face, and they're just still going to mostly walk by what they see and feel, and that's the way they're going to walk. That's what they're going to do. And so they're not going to succeed in areas. They can only produce into the areas of the seen realm, and they're going to have to, the only place that they'll be able to walk or perform is in the wisdom of the seen realm. That's the seen realm. That's the only place that they're going to be able to succeed at. And many don't even succeed at that. They don't even do well in the seen realm. But we need to understand there's principles that we have to follow in these things concerning wisdom that must be followed closely. And it takes work and it takes time to do these things. But we're going to look at them in the areas of dealing with wisdom. Because we're walking, to walk by faith, you're going to have to walk by a higher level of wisdom. It's going to have to be because it deals with an unseen realm. Faith deals with the unseen realm, and so there's a wisdom to the spirit realm. You know, think about this today. We're here today and that stuff. We open up singing, you know, about God here. God is here. As a Christian, born again, God is living inside of you. I don't see Him. I don't even have feeling. I was thinking about this morning, meditating on some things going to minister, and I was thinking this morning, you know, it's like, if I would go by how I felt, I'd think, you know, God ain't even around. And I'm just thinking about that. We live by faith, and what I'm doing is by, it doesn't matter what I feel. It doesn't matter. That has nothing to do with the spirit realm. Has it? Nothing. And the producing, once you learn that, see, it's like in here, whether it's healing or whatever it is, you learn to do it. If you want to manifest healing into the physical, spiritual healing in the physical realm, you got to learn that. You can't pay attention to what your body's saying. If you're paying attention to what your body's telling you that you can or can't do, you're in the flesh. And you're not going to see much of anything happen because it's unseen. We're acting like something is true that we can't see nor can we feel. And that's walking in the areas by faith. That's the faith walk. And that's difficult for people. When people are tied over to all that they see and they're trained that way, you know, that was one thing that's fortunate that I did have, I believed as a kid because, you know, we were taught, you know, as Christians, you know, you didn't see God, but you act like God's real and that kind of stuff. But today, many people living in our, the world here and even among churches, they can only believe what they see. A lot of ministers, they can't believe any more than what they can see and that stuff. Everybody's questioning everything today. You know, and I'm, I've got the point. I almost want to turn off every time I hear a guy talk about being a Christian Scientist. I almost want to turn him off immediately and not listen to them. Because they want to their idea of proof of God. Finding proof. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not going to believe till I can see it's true. Then when I say it's true, see, the Bible's true. I'm sorry, I already knew that. You came and talked to me and saved yourself years of study. I'd have told you. It's like, we're walking by faith. We don't wait till somebody proves it's true. It starts in the areas. Faith is when we're walking along. See, I believe in a God I can't see. And I believe He's real, and I believe He's above everything, and I'm going to tell you what He says is that's it. He's got the last word on it. Don't matter what Ed thinks about it. I might have an opinion, but his opinion's the last opinion that's going to stand. That's it. I mean, and say, well, yeah, no, we have all this proof of all these different things, you know, and this stuff science says, and, you know, and we found this thing, you know, and we know it's 200 billion years old and all this kind of stuff. And people say things, so they have the idea, well, the Bible isn't right. Well, one of the things, 99% of Christians don't even know what the Bible says about creation. They have their opinion about what the Bible says, but they have very little revelation about what the Bible says. They have almost no wisdom. See, you can collect information, but that don't mean you have a lick of wisdom. And so, we need to, if we want to succeed, especially as Christians, we're living in this realm, and we're living here, while you're living here, there's decisions that have to be made, and how you're going to make those decisions is really important. What you're going to go after and what you're going to do. So, if we would look today, say we would talk among people, and I'm talking about like people who are taught the Bible and taught the Word, there's lots of people in that stuff know a lot of information about the Bible. They can tell you lots of scriptures. They've learned a lot of things. They can tell you all kind of stuff. And it's good. I mean, they have good information from the Bible, but yet are unsuccessful living the Christian life. And it just seems, the thing that is always strange to me, See, maybe because I'm a questioner. It's like with me, I would stop, and if I'm going along and say all I know, but I can't get it to work, I will stop and say, okay, what's wrong here? Most people, I don't get it. I can't relate to a lot of people. When people come and ask me sometimes questions about things, I can't relate to a lot of people on things because people will go on for years, keep doing something dumb and just keep going for years doing it and just, you know, and then they'll want to know about something and you think, you can't see. You're still walking along in this thing and it ain't been working and you're still doing it. You haven't stopped after years and years and said, hold it, what's wrong here? Like to me, it's like, that's close to brain dead. That's very close to brain dead. And it is. And I'm not mocking, but the person quits thinking. They no longer think. They just keep doing the same thing, coming up with the same, you know, thing over and over again. Something doesn't change. I just get the point like, hey, let's put the brakes on this thing. Why doesn't it work? What do I have to know or what don't I know? I need to know something that I don't know. But people just keep going along. And see, this is one thing we have to deal with. We have to deal with this thing. We have information, but if information in itself is not enough. Information is not enough. See, this is one of the big problems we deal today. People use this term, we're an informational society, like it is some kind of pat on the back of a trophy. It is really to our detriment. It's no big deal how much you know. I am only interested in one thing. What do you do? I don't care what you know. What you know is nothing. It's what you can do is the only thing that's going to perform in your life. Not what you know. I don't care how much you know. You can't do it. Who cares? And the church has become satisfied at that place. Most Christians today, it is, what does the Bible say about knowledge? Knowledge puffs up. That is a lot of Christians' problems right there. They can't learn anymore because they're so puffed up and think they're smart because they know things. But you ask them to do things, and in 10 minutes, they're done doing all they know. They've just did it all. You know? They don't know things. And it is so important that we understand what we can do. As you've heard me, you know, teach. I've taught already on the series, but there's a thing that a ministry the Lord gave me. There's three parts of faith. The three parts of faith is number one is believing in your heart. Number two is saying it with your mouth. And the third part is doing it. You cut any of those out and it don't work. Most people, the church has been tied, and here's one of the big things that I believe that there's a lot of faith teachers have done wrong, and I'm not just saying from a critical standpoint, they've done wrong. They just keep emphasizing believe, 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 believe. You can believe the right thing, and it never worked for you. Never. Believing alone will not produce anything. Believing alone produces nothing. Nobody ever got saved just believing alone. No one ever, a person can believe what the truth is. But if they don't act on that truth, they will never be saved and they end up in hell. Yet they believe. Most people and most Christians, when you talk faith, they think believing is the thing. Wrong. It's not. Information in itself is of no value. You know, remember they used to have like the Britannica, you know, encyclopedias, and you had all that information in those set of books. You got a set of books. I remember my parents had got us a set of books, man. We had all this information in those books. Those information in books is a worthless thing to have unless you get that information into you and you start practicing it. It is worthless. It means nothing. Having a set of encyclopedias, having a computer could do a million things and you don't ever do nothing with it is worthless. If all you ever do is go online with your phone and go Facebook, your phone is a pretty worthless thing. All that thing can do, and all the information and things you could learn to do and practice, and all you're sitting around is looking at a bunch of dummies and what they're saying on there about things, you know. Good preaching, folks. listen to somebody talking about something they don't know a thing about. You know, we're just such geniuses. But, it doesn't matter, you know, what we know. You know, if we go out here, whether it's prosperity, protection, those truths, they're wonderful to know and understand. But we have, really, from the standpoint of wisdom, if we don't have wisdom to perform and to do things, it doesn't matter what we know on those subjects. It's hugely important. It's one of the things that, like, is Kenneth Hagin, when he was a young boy and on his deathbed, and he saw Mark 11:23, and he made a statement to God about believing that, and the Lord said to spoke to him and said to him, you believe as far as you know. In other words, he had a certain amount of information, but he didn't have all the information that he could do what the Word says. He didn't have all he needed to do it. And so he needed further information so he could do something. It was something he's going to need to do. And that's always stuck with me, is the fact of knowing. Like, people, we get information. We just think it's so important as just getting information. Many times we are over in the areas even limited information that we have. We have limited. And we just think because we know a certain thing that we know the whole thing. You know, as I found out this over the years, how limited most people in the faith community really understand how faith operates and works. Yet they've been seminared. But I'm going to just tell you this. Many times they're listening to teachers that have limited knowledge. They just, well, just believe, say this, and it'll come to pass, and da, 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 da. And people are doing it, and it ain't working. It ain't working. Because there's other things tied to it. They don't tell them, you know, if you don't walk in love, you ain't going to walk in love. You forget it. You're going to make your confession. You're going to fall flat in your face. There's other things you must do. But they don't talk about those. They just emphasize certain things, and there's certain parts that people like to hear. You know, if I put money in, I'm going to get money back. Well, it don't just work like that. It don't just work like that. When the Lord spoke to me in 2014, he said, you don't get back at the rate that you give. If it worked just putting money in, I should have had all the money coming back. Well, it didn't. He had to give me further revelation of what to do. I needed wisdom of what to do so I could enter the realm that he wanted me to walk into. And this is why things don't work. And this is why, you know, you never quit studying the Word of God. If you think you're just pretty bright, you're already behind. I learned that a long time ago. Nobody ever arrives. Nobody ever arrives here. You never get the degree in Christianity. There ain't one. You know, you can go to Bible schools and you can go to all this stuff. You don't, you know, it don't matter. Because it is a constant learning. I'm going to tell you, God can tell you in 15 minutes what will take you a lifetime to digest, to try to figure out, my God. We compare ourselves to God and His wisdom and understanding, I mean, we're so finite in those areas, it's absolutely incredible. But we need to see ourselves as such. Don't get big-headed on the deal. Thank God for what you do know, but understand this, you're still pretty stupid. Keep yourself, because you're a comparison to God. I mean, my words. You've heard me say this a lot. You know, the more God reveals to me, the more I realize I don't know. It just, and it's true. And it's not just some, you know, religious statement trying to make it sound like, you know, that, I'm just wanting to really be humble. I want you to go over, we're going to look at something in the book of Job. We could turn to Job. He's there over there before Psalm. It's J-O-B. We call it Job. And, it would be good. This would be a good thing to preach to Christians, Job. Because jobs have about doing things. And if anything that Christians need spiritually, they need a job. They need to start doing things. Doing things spiritually. The more I act out spiritually, the more I act upon the Word of God, the more results I have. It don't come from just believing. Don't happen. It's acting out. But listen what Job says concerning wisdom. And there is a real piece of wisdom that Job reveals here and talks about with God. Listen in Job, the 28th chapter. We're over there at Job 28. And verse 12, it says, but where can wisdom be found? He asks the question. And where is the place of understanding? He said, man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. Isn't this interesting? Wisdom's not found in the land of the living, even though in the land of the living, you need it. See, this is one of the problems that we have today. If you look around to see what's going on and what's happening, there is no wisdom in most people in the land of the living. Why? We have over the years spent more and more time rejecting God and rejecting the truth of the word. And the more you do that, the less wisdom there is. You will never have, I don't care how many colleges, how many things you have, wisdom will always be depleted as man moves away from God. You're going to have that. Today we have things. I almost have to laugh and roar. I was listening to a thing and a guy was making some mention about some stuff in science and dealing with space and that stuff. And he was giving his theory and he was talking about this stuff. And I thought, this man is a total 100% idiot. He has built what he calls a theory, but his theory was not based on one fact. He had no facts. But it's a theory. Here's what people do today. This is the wisdom of the average person today. And whether a Christian or not, there's things that they like. It's like the Lord spoke to me here this morning. I had asked the Lord a question here this morning. It's about a thing, and I'd asked him some questions about it before. Because I hear Christians and I've heard ministers teach on this subject, and there is not one clear scripture in the Bible that says what they say. These are mainline ministers. They say these things, but I said, Lord, I can't find a scripture. They imply, but I said, Lord, for such an important thing, this should not be something that we have to, you know, shuffle things around to make it sort of sound like this is all right. I said, God, if anything's so, I want to know, is there any truth to this? I want to know, because if there's truth to it, it's like Kenneth Hagin said. He said, I don't care what the Holy Spirit says to me. He said, if I can't find it in scriptures, I don't say nothing to nobody about it. Because he said, you can't prove it unless you find it in scriptures. He said, it matters not what God told you. You don't go around telling unless it can be found in scripture. Because anybody can start running their mouth and saying, God said. And boy, we got a lot of that today. You don't go around talking. There's things if God would say, you know, unless it can be proved in scriptures, I don't go preaching it. I ain't going to preach it. I want to know what it says. It's just like with them. They're talking things, coming up with theories, because where's wisdom found? Where's this wisdom? So see, I was listening to that scientist. That man had no wisdom whatsoever. He didn't have a theory. He had ignorance. He was telling something the way he would like to have it. There's people preaching like that. They say things like the way they like to have it, and they make it to themselves scripturally true. But it's not. It's not true. I heard people say things, you know, it just sounds nice. It sounds good and people get excited. I've been at meetings, right? I've been in listening to meetings, right? Where ministers have said stuff and it's biblically inaccurate and they teach us so and others pick it up and they say stuff and it is not true scripturally. And people love to hear it and love to hear them talk about it. Why? Because they like it. It makes them feel good to hear it. Because if the person heard the truth, they may not feel so good. They'd have to correct themselves. And that would be no fun. See, we want to, this is why you go to the truth as a word of God. Why? It's accurate. It's accurate. And this is, this is really Job is speaking by wisdom here. He said, man does not know its value. Man doesn't understand. He said in verse 30, man don't know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. He said, the deep says, it is not me in me. And the sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire, neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. From where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? Now he asked the question. Why? Because He's making this statement. Number one, you can't look to nature to find wisdom. Wisdom isn't found in nature. Christians all the time. You know, did you ever think about this? Now, I know, because there's songs that we sing, but there's songs that we sing of like, you know, looking at nature, you know, and a song singing about what God created as, you know, is a thing really of worship, but it has to do with this. We're trying to find God in stuff. The Bible teaches it this way. The Bible tells us that we can look at nature and we can look at creation and see there is a God. But you cannot know Him nor His wisdom by looking at creation. Now, we have from the Psalm, they talk about things and they make things about God did in His creation. But that in itself is looking how, is really, is His wisdom is what He did. Now look what man has done to try to figure out about creation. The more science looks into it, the more weird they get. The further they get away from God. They've looked at it so much that now it's just, you know, some little pool somewhere had slime in it and you crawled out. And you came out of that thing. You know, it's like I heard one minister say, and he had quite an educated background, but he made the statement, he said, it's interesting. He said, these men that talk about all this stuff, he said, you know, about where things came from and that stuff, but he says, not one of them. And he said, I know from asking, is getting in touch with these people. Nobody will talk about, well, where did this stuff come from that made that? They don't want to deal with that. Nobody wants to deal with origin. How did it start? Everything goes back to origin. Where did it start? Started from something. You know? Nothing don't come. Science says, I don't, nothing don't come from nothing. But all of our theories are based on it coming from nothing. They lie to themselves. They lie to themselves in their theories. And call it education. And you can get a degree as a liar. Just lie to yourself enough and you'll have a lot of people join you because they, you know, people, there's things people don't want to touch. Where does it come from? Well, in verse 21, he says this, it is hidden from the eyes of all things and concealed from the birds of the air. In other words, it's not visible. Why? Because it don't come from a visible realm. It don't come from a visible realm. See, it's what they're teaching over the years of faith. See, wisdom comes to the same place where faith comes from. It comes from the same place. It's not found in the natural. He said, destruction and death says we have heard a report about it with our ears. We've heard about it, but we don't have it. We've heard about it. He said, God understands its ways and He knows its place. For He looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heavens to establish a weight for the wind and a portion of waters by measure. In other words, he's referring to God here. This being, the one who this wisdom comes from that you can't see. You know, He can measure how much water is in the earth. Now think about that. Men turn around and they put their theories out about how much water is in the earth. I want you to think about it. It's amazing, you know, what the things that they say, you know, because you can look in reports and they say different things. But God knows exactly. God knows to the drop. God can tell you the weight of it. But see, we don't like that. You know, if my theory, if I give up my theory to God, then I ain't God no more. Man keeps trying to be God. This is our problem. This is one of our great problems today. Man keeps trying to be God, trying to be brilliant and take the place of God. You can't do it. Well, he goes on here. He says, and when he made a law for the rain and a path for the thunderbolt, it says, then he saw wisdom and declared it. He prepared it. Indeed, he searched it out. And to man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And departure from evil is understanding. Now we talk about understanding, or this is the basis of knowledge. Now think about what Job said here on this thing. First of all, he said the start of wisdom is this, is the fear of the Lord. Nobody who does not have the fear of the Lord does not have wisdom. not what God calls wisdom. There's many Christians don't have wisdom because they don't have the fear of the Lord. Loads of Christians today have accepted theories of things, of evolution and everything else. I've heard people, I heard one famous minister and that stuff known, you know, all the years. He's been a good Bible teacher. He's not spirit-filled, but he has a lot of wisdom. His son is like over, probably has 4 or 5 churches. But his son, you know, the Bible, the evolution, you know, is the way science has proved it. I heard him say it with his own mouth. Does he have the fear of the Lord? No, he doesn't. I don't care who his daddy is. If I was his daddy, I'd take him and shoot him. I'd send him home to Jesus before he ends up in hell. But we don't believe that that can happen. That's, you know, once you're saved, you're always saved. You know, you can just go around and preaching anything you want anymore. I don't believe that way. But he said, what's the other thing? Is the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And what? To depart from evil is understanding. Or we could say knowledge. In other words, you depart from evil. This is why you can't remove, there's a standard that is set. The Bible sets a standard of what is evil. The Bible sets a standard. Now, today, even in so-called churches, they teach this, you know, well, this might be wrong for you, it ain't wrong for him, you know, we have our sin, you know, you go just turn on Oprah Winfrey somewhere and she'll say, this is my truth. In other words, she's God. She sets her own standard of good and evil. My truth. Well, I'm just want to let you know this right out. Ed don't set any standards of that. I got the Bible already that says what's good and what's bad. I already have that. And see, that's what the Bible... And see, who are we going to allow to set the standard? You can go among any group and they set standards differently. Of good and bad. Good and evil. Of what it is. Well, the Bible is like in the church world today. Lots of the church world, things that were evil are not evil anymore. They're all right. It's okay. You know, we're just accepting. We have this new love that isn't in the Bible. This new love that says, you know, that anybody can be anything and that's it. God loves them, then they're all going to just go to heaven. I'm just going to tell you, I believe many of them are saying that ain't going to be in heaven. I don't care how much they say they believe in Jesus. There is one specific Jesus you have to believe in. And that Jesus was the one who fulfilled the law. And the law prescribes what is evil and what is good. Any other Jesus that loves and people don't can live anyway and end up in heaven, that is demonic and evil. That person belongs to the devil. They are following the devil. They are preaching doctrines of devils. The New Testament says that in the end times, people are going to be doing that, preaching doctrines of devils. And we have that today. And there's no wisdom in it. And this is what you're going to hear, you know. Well, see, you know, well, we can't say because people, you know, we got to love people. And they'll get offended if you say that. Nobody, absolutely no one will ever get born again who does not have the knowledge of sin. If they don't get the knowledge of sin, they will never get born again because they have nothing to get born again for. You have to come to the knowledge of sin. Well, what do I need Jesus for? If he loves, everybody's going to end up there. Why would I go to church? Why would any of these lying ministers stand up front and say such a things and dumb enough people to give him money and pay for him to stand up there and do it? Pay a guy salary? If everybody gets to heaven, nobody needs to go to a church. Nobody needs to give no money to nothing. Help God with what? Why bother? We're all going to get there anyhow. What a bunch of liars and fakes. And they are. They're a bunch of liars and fakes. See, I'm real popular in those areas. Why? They deceive people, and people are following that wisdom. And they'll end up in hell following that wisdom. And we have those things that are going on out here. And really, and people have left God. They're no longer walking with God. They're not looking. God is the standard. There's a standard that has been set by God. We must have a fear of God. Now, people use a term and say, well, you know, they don't mean fear is being afraid. It says, you know, they keep using the term reverence. I wish you'd look up the word and see what it means. The New Testament said this, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. It was written to Christians. Too many Christians today have no fear of God. They'll live any old way and don't think a thing about it. Play around, don't think a thing of it. They don't realize. He says, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Well, they're talking reverence. Well, what is reverence? What does it mean to reverence something? I wonder what they think it is. I mean, yeah, oh, I just like him, you know, and he's all right. That's reverence. It's because the church don't even know what reverence means. They have no clue what reverence is. Have words that we say, but those words have no meaning. Wisdom's not found. We ain't looking for it in wisdom. It's only in God. So wisdom has to do with the fear of God. In other words, there is a reverence that man must have concerning God. And to reverence God, we have to put God into a position which he's been moved from in the church world. He's not on top anymore. His wisdom, his words and things, they're not on the top anymore. They're not the things that people look. They don't fit our society today. You know, they don't fit our ways of life today. You know, we don't like them. The words are too harsh, you know. Holiness is just, that's too tough of a word. We don't want that one in there. We don't want that there. That's it, you know. We don't want the thou shalt not. It's all thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt. We don't like to have, you know, in these things, there's lines that we don't cross. We don't like to have those things. But then on the other hand, we want wisdom. We want wisdom to work. We want to have wisdom in operation. Now, I want to read to you in Proverbs, the first chapter. In Proverbs, the first chapter, I just want to read you, this is the concerning Solomon. So it's just to understand, the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And when we look at this book in Proverbs, the first chapter, I'm just going to start reading in the beginning here what it says. I'll read the first seven verses. It says this here. It says the opening of the book. It says the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. So he's the Solomon. Now this is the book of Proverbs. Now, the word proverb, let me just say this, what does it mean, proverb? The word proverb is a Hebrew word. It refers to a rule or a standard. Most Christians think the word proverb means just like, you know, Confucius said. That's what it means to them. It's not. And its idea of it, what it says in Hebrew, it means to be like. Proverbs are the things that you do to be like God. That's what Solomon's talking about. It's the things that we do to be like God. We just thought they were nice, smart sayings that we could tell people when we wanted to tell them, make us seem like we're pretty bright, and we could just give them a real good answer to something. Especially something we could tell them that we don't do. Okay, anyhow. What's the purpose of this? He said to know wisdom and instruction. Now see, we like to know wisdom, and these are given what? And instruction. In other words, you need instructed. If you're all this smart, look, if you're real smart, you don't need none of this book. You don't need anything. No, this was given for wisdom and instruction. What? To perceive the words of understanding. So you could understand what the Word of God's talking about. So you could understand. Now, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. See, it's so you can have wisdom, justice. I'm going to tell you what, that's been removed from America. So you can tell America's away from God. America's become really a godless nation as a whole. Our justice system is so perverted and so whacked out. And I don't care if it's conservative or what. Man, there are so few judges anymore that are really understand justice, and there isn't justice anymore. Justice today is if you're the troublemaker, you're given the lawyer. If you have a crime committed against you, you don't get a lawyer to get things straightened out for you. They get a lawyer. The guy that does it to you, he gets a free lawyer. And he goes to jail, they'll feed him the whole time he's there, and they'll give him medical care. And you know what? You got to figure out how to pay your medical care when he slapped you. This is wonderful America. I'm going to tell you, when I always think about it, because you talk about blind justice, it's supposed to mean equal. It don't mean it. It means blind justice, that justice don't see nothing anymore. It's completely blind. Judgment. See, you need to understand it. You need wisdom so you can judge things right. Well, we're not supposed to judge. Yeah, you find one scripture that says that. And I could show you 27 scriptures where Paul says you're supposed to judge things. And it says, but oh no, that's because we don't judge. Well, poor dumb Solomon didn't know that. There's things you need to judge. He said, to give prudence to the simple. Oh my God, do we need that today? He said, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. So in other words, Solomon's saying is looking at this, there's going to be certain types of people that are going to get certain things, and there are certain types of people ain't. Some people go read it. Lots of people read Proverbs, and they don't get, they just get some, you know, they open their fortune cookie and read their thing and tell everybody how cool it was, you know. But they really don't get something they practice in their life that they turn around and start doing. To understand a proverb or an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. What's this? You understand a proverb, it says, and an enigma. Well, what's an enigma? An enigma is something that's hard to understand. In other words, wisdom gives you the ability to understand hard things. This is why you want to develop an answer into wisdom. If you got to keep asking everybody else the questions all the time, it's because you don't have it. And you're trying to find somebody that does. Hey, that's it, folks. Come on. That's what it is. There's loads of people that don't hardly study or ever do anything in the Bible themselves. Oh, they'll listen to a teacher. They'll listen to 27 teachers on TV. They're trying to get the wisdom and everything from everybody else. It won't work that way. It won't work. You just can't keep getting it out of somebody else. You can't keep getting it out of me. You see, I have a spirit of wisdom. If you ain't worked at it, you ain't got one, and you can't get it from me. It don't come from Ed. Ed ain't the source of wisdom. I'm not the source. I can't go give it out. I can tell you wisdom that I know, but you're going to have to learn to walk in developing that. It isn't like just something we just give to somebody, and it just, there it is. Poof. This is what people are trying to get. Now, I can give you knowledge. But you're going to have to work on that wisdom thing. You're going to have to do that. That's the thing. There's the area you're going to have to work out. Then he goes on to say verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fool despises wisdom and instruction. Here he says then that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So we understand this, that knowledge and wisdom, they're two different things, but they both come from the fear of the Lord. Now, here's something that you need to understand. You need to understand this. Knowledge is taking in the Word of God. It's taking it in. Wisdom is something outward you do out. You don't get wisdom listening to teaching, you get knowledge. You have to develop in wisdom. You got to get a hold of the source of creation. The last time I checked, I wasn't the guy. I wasn't the source. Now, God can give me, share things and use me to share things with somebody that helps people gain it. But you're going to have to do somebody. You're going to have to do it because the knowledge is the accumulation of facts. It's the accumulation. See, this is what we have in our society today. It's about the accumulation. We have all kind of knowledge of all kind of things. We have all this stuff. It's the accumulation. But wisdom is the correct application of knowledge. How to put it to work. How to use it to do something. Wisdom does something. Wisdom is doing something. Wisdom is not going to school to get more knowledge. That is not wisdom. Gaining knowledge. You know, I learned this. I was in the military. And so we were sent to school and we had theory and stuff and that stuff. And then we would work on equipment and different things in electronics. And I was in a microwave systems technician. And we would work on, you know, equipment. We'd sit down, have our theory classes and that stuff, but then we'd go over and work on equipment things. Now, you had two types of tests. And all the time you would see this. All the time you would see. You'd see these geniuses over here would do really great. Oh, man, the facts and figures. They took that test, but you took them over here to do something. And they'd flunk out. We had guys that had like 2 years of electronic engineering. And when you asked them to work on something, to take all that theory and you told them to put it to work over here, they were the dumbest sticks in the house, man. You'd have guys over here that seemed to didn't do as well, seemed to on the theory, but what they knew, they could go over here and work and do it over here, and they would do well on the practical test on fixing equipment. Well, the Army was smarter than 99% of colleges. The Army figured this out. You want the guy that can fix the equipment, not the guy who can talk about it. The colleges ain't figured that out today. They want the talkers. The talkers. Give me the guy who took the test and knows all the information. We'll give them the degree. Not the guy that can do anything. They're not interested in it. And see, we had that all the time. When I went, it was interesting. You know, when you go out, especially after I was in the service, and I went through a number of different schools. As you go along, they'd bring new equipment out and they would teach you, you know, about the new equipment, some of the new equipment they were bringing in. But I found this out over time. These guys who had, you know, spent a lot of time, you know, we did working, actually running the equipment, operating, repairing it, fixing it all the time. I mean, these guys got really good at it. They were good. And we would get these tech reps would come in from the companies. Now, we're over there in Vietnam. I was an E-5, and I was paid $3,200 for a year in Vietnam. That's what I got. And we have these guys come in at that time. This is back in 1969. These guys come in, and they're making $150,000, $200,000 a year. And they'd come in the company, and these guys would come in, and you know what? They knew all the books and manuals. They knew all the stuff, and we'd have to show them how stuff works. We had to show them. They had theory. But these guys had no time working on equipment. They never worked on it. And if they got in a situation to work on it, they didn't have enough time and stuff on things to know stuff. And we could tell them stuff about the equipment. We'd have to tell them. They'd say, oh, do this or that. And we'd say, you can't do that. Well, it says here, I don't care what your little book says. Try it. It don't work. Oh, duh. No, we work on this stuff. We work around it. See, we had wisdom. We had applied the things that we learned to figure out how that stuff actually worked. They had never done that. They just had knowledge of what they were taught in data, but they hadn't put it over here on that, on there. You know, if you would take, now what Sherry teaches here, she teaches teachers. So she takes teachers who went to colleges and taught, and you probably have some teachers that are much better than other teachers. They could have gone to the same college. But there's ones who apply what they learned, and the other ones are just knowledge people. And they have not applied it. They have no wisdom. They have no wisdom in doing it. It's all the time. Well, I learned that over the years of you're around people all the time. You go to work, there's some people, they can have this exact same training, but some people, they apply it and they do it. And these other ones over here are always walking around, I can't do that. Well, I just don't understand that. They'll never have wisdom. You'll never have wisdom doing that. You know, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. How about your little computer doing it? Well, I just don't know how to do that. I just can't. I'm just, you know, and that's a good old Christian mouth running. And then has the nerve to use that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. They have no wisdom in it. There's no wisdom. They're just talk. That's just accumulation of fortune cookie. That's fortune cookie Christianity. You popped it over and said, Confucius said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Eat the rice. You know, people do this stuff all the time. But it's about gaining wisdom. And the wisdom is about applying. And it's not always easy to apply. It's not always easy. In fact, that's where the problem comes in. It's because a person who doesn't apply is a person whose flesh dominates them. Now, some people have certain areas that let their flesh dominate them, you know. But it's what happens is you go over, because why? It can get uncomfortable practicing unseen over into the seen. This is why people have a hard time with faith. This is why faith gets hard for people. Because you have to train. Over time, I had to train my flesh that, you know, you got to learn to live with this not see thing. You have to train it. That's where the Paul talking about, you know, he buffeted his flesh. He didn't know about buffeting his flesh. He had a pound on a thing to get it in line. You're going to have to do that. You're going to have to force your flesh to come over to an area to do what it cannot see. But the principle is there to do it. And I'm going to apply that principle. I'm going to do it. That's wisdom. The wisdom is the doing. The wisdom is not the knowing. Wisdom is not knowing. Wisdom is doing. You ain't got smart yet till you did it. That's when you got smart. Most people think that smart is knowing. That is unscriptural. That's unscriptural. It doesn't fit. Smart is being able to do. The guy that can do it, he's on top of it. I mean, that person got it. Somebody that knows how to do it, you know. If you bought somebody in here who tells us to lay bricks today, well, I've tried that bricklaying stuff and I have never really got over to try to really want to do it. And they make it look so simple. And those guys do, that's go to a town laying brick and they do a great job. You can tell they have a lot more wisdom than I got. See, it don't matter how much I can read all the books on the wisdom. I could sort of watch videos of those guys do it. But their wisdom is found in doing it. The wisdom is being able to do it. Who cares? You know, you Google anything in the world anymore. That don't make you smart because you Googled. It makes Google smart because they got all the stuff on it. And if you ain't doing it, you're as dumb as you were before when you started. Well, it is. I mean, let's face it. You know, you got to learn to deal with yourself. You know, if you're acting dumb, admit it. Quit trying to put on an air with somebody when everybody else knows you're dumb. Well, why not? I mean, what do we're just so much trying. We're all Facebook all the time. You know, we're just trying to put on airs to people that we're something we're not. Dear God, let's get over this thing. You know, God will do absolutely marvelous, wonderful things when we quit acting this junk out and just say, God, I need your help. Here we are. I'm going to trust you today. I'm going to go ahead and step out in this thing. And if you ain't in it, man, I'm done. But I'm going to step out and I'm going to do something. I'm going to walk in something. Hallelujah. It's a wise thing to do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Walking in the truth. But we need this. We want to. Now, there is the need to accumulate knowledge. You need knowledge of things before you act. Don't act without knowledge. That'd be a dumb thing. But knowledge must be acted upon. You must learn the wisdom of applying that knowledge. And look, it's finding out what the wisdom is to do. And I'll talk to you. The Lord spoke to me this morning before church to talk about the first time when the Lord taught me, and really I got wisdom on the areas of healing. See, there's over time the Lord taught me things and gave me wisdom of what to do, of acting on things. Majority of the time, the things that I learned that really totally changed my life and my faith was things that God taught me how to act upon, not giving me a revelation. You know, you sit down and you do any kind of study in the Word, it's the easiest thing to get knowledge from the Bible. It's the easiest thing in the world. A person that can't get knowledge from the Bible, there's only one reason they can't. They're either hard-hearted and stiff-necked, or they're just downright lazy and ain't looking and refuse to accept things. But it's easy to sit down. If you're a person who believes, anybody that really believes that this is the Word of God, you know, it is easy to accept. If the Bible said, you know, that God made Adam in the garden, I have a choice. This is my choice. Big, big, hard brain thing. Did he do it or didn't he? Do I believe it or not? Well, that was a real toughie. But that's all it is to it. And then somebody sits around, well, I have a hard time because of that. No, you're just a knucklehead. Quit lying and telling people you believe the Bible is the Word of God. Because lying about it is not going to help you gain any knowledge. It's going to put you further away from it. You're going to get further away from knowledge. The average person you talk to will say they believe the Bible is the Word of God. The average person you talk to is going to hell. They don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. That's just words out of their mouth. They don't believe it. In fact, it was about 10 years ago they did a survey and they said 80% of Americans believe the Bible is the Word of God. I just got laughing so hard when I read that thing. I thought, my God, if they believe the Word of God, they was act on it. Well, we know that 80% of Americans don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. Dear Lord, we could hardly get 80% of the church to believe the Word of God anymore. People need to accept. We're so gullible anymore. And that's why Christianity is Facebook today. It goes on, you know. I put a like on that one. I just see, I'm not on Facebook, and people wouldn't want me on Facebook because I wouldn't give them the like, and I wouldn't give them stuff. They'd be mad. I don't care what you're having for supper. Get over it. It's like, my God. But anyhow, you've heard me tell this story, but the Lord told me to tell it because we're dealing, this is on the areas of wisdom. It had to do faith to be healed. It's the first time I asked the Lord, Kenneth Hagin had been teaching on the areas of faith. And he would talk, and I understood what he talked about, to believe what the Word says and believe it in your heart and say with your mouth. I understood that. But for me, the idea is, he would talk about acting on the Word. And he would say it time and time again, you got to act on the Word. And I asked the Lord, I said, I want to know how to act. How do I act on it? What do I do to act on it? So I said, Lord, I don't know what he means, because I have to know how do I act on it? What do I do? See, that takes wisdom. It's one thing to know what the Word says. See, most people are stopped right at that point. I believe what it said and I said what it said. So therefore I'm in faith. And nothing ever changes and nothing ever will change. It's not going to change. It's not going to change. Why? Because there's no power to change it. Nothing's been done. Wisdom is doing something. Well, see, I didn't know that at that time, but I wanted to know, and I asked the Lord. And I'd asked the Lord a number of times about it. What does he mean when he says wisdom? Show me about this. And so when I woke up one morning and I was just feeling downright sick. I mean, I was just feeling terrible. It was interesting because in this, the Lord said to me, he said, do you believe 1 Peter 2:24? I quoted it to him, and he didn't say I didn't believe it. I quoted it because you know what? I did believe it. I believe what it said. But he spoke to me, and he said this. Because, see, I had made the statement, and I thought about it. I didn't say anything, but I thought about it. I'll just believe I'm healed, and I'll just call off work. And this voice said to me, if you call off work, you're going to stay in bed sick all day. Well, that was cheerful. But see, here I'm, and I understand this. I am believing in the Word, and I believe it in my heart, and don't doubt. And you know what's going to produce for me? Nothing. It's not going to produce anything. It's not going to produce anything. Now, folks, what I'm talking about here is divine healing. Most Christians won't go for divine healing. I'm talking about divine healing. I'm talking about divine healing. So I said to the Lord about it. And the Lord said to me, when I quoted 1 Peter 2:24 to him, just as clear down in the inside of me, I heard these words. He said, well, if you believe it, then act like it's true. But you know what? That's the first that light came on. I never had that revelation before. I had never had that. Nobody had ever told me that I had to act like the Word was true. They just told me to believe it and confess it. That's all I'd ever heard out of faith teachers. That's all I ever heard out of them. And most of them, that's what they'll do today, the same thing. They'll just, just believe it and confess it, and you just got to have your confession. It is good to have the belief in your heart. It's good to make the confession, but you got to act on it. And the Lord said to me, he said, if you lay in bed there, he said, you're going to be sick all day in bed. You're going to be sick. Well, you know what my flesh thought about the idea of getting up? Oh, this is exciting. Now look, I have confessed healing, but I don't see healing. Now I am told, and here's wisdom, to act like what I believe, which you cannot see, like it's true. That's wisdom. See, most people don't think that's wisdom. They think that's crazy. Well, the doctor said, you know, you can't walk on that for 6 weeks. Well, I can't walk on it for 6 weeks. I can't do that. But I believe I'm healed, but I can't walk on it for 6 weeks. See, you have one thing over here in God you're saying, but you're practicing the wisdom of the doctor. Now, there's a lot of faith teachers that hate hear me saying this kind of stuff. Well, you shouldn't be telling people. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you how it works. If you can't believe, if you can't believe you can do it, then don't do it. Don't do it. But I'm telling you how it works. I know from doing it so many times. There's a wisdom to this, but you got to believe in your heart, don't doubt, and practice that wisdom. And you know what? It is not easy, and sometimes even painful. It's painful. I'm going to tell you what, it was painful when I got out of bed and I was sick. It was painful. It was bad. Ain't nothing worse than you just want to puke real bad and you can't puke. You're just feeling, oh man, that is terrible. Stomach cramps. Oh, just feeling awful. Have to get out of the bed. Because, you know, the Lord said to me, he said, you're going to stay sick all day in bed. And I thought, well, man, I don't walk around all day like this. Oh, my God. Your mind's going over there all this sick. But in my heart, I believe the word's true. And I am going to act on that word that I believe. That's wisdom. I'm going to act on the word that I'm telling people I believe. I'm going to act on it. I'm going to act like it's true. You know, we had to do that with Wanda, you know. As Wanda will tell you, she said, boy, you know, it was really good because she said, you stayed on top of me about things. When she came home and she had her operation and all that kind of stuff, you know, you get in the end, you know, it's painful moving around and doing stuff. And I would, you need to get up and move around. I'd tell her, wow, you got to keep up. And she'll tell you. It's what after we went to see the after 3 weeks we went to see the her surgeon. He walked in the room. He couldn't even believe she'd had an operation. He said, "This is a surgeon." He looked at her and he said, "Did you drive here?" She said, "Well, no." She said, "You told me I couldn't drive for 6 to 8 weeks." He said, "Well, you can sure drive home now or wherever you want to. You go home." But see, her recovery wasn't some kind of lucky thing that happened. We were acting on a wisdom. She got home in the hospital and a week, a guy shows up, who's a physical therapist. He shows up and he walks in the house and he sees her there and that stuff. And he sees her there and he said, "You don't need to see me." He said, "There's nothing wrong with you." He said, "I don't have anything to offer you." He said, "You're doing great." He said, "But they require me at least come a second time." So he said, "I'll come and see you again." But it was what we were acting and doing was wisdom. Believing mattered not. I know people who have believed they don't get recovery. The average spirit-filled believer will do everything the doctor says, or less. Many times less. But they won't act like it's true. Why? Because it's not easy. It's hard on the flesh. Well, I might hurt myself. If you believe you're going to hurt yourself, you can't operate on that wisdom anyhow. Stay, do what you're doing. You got to come. Where can you operate? What level of wisdom can you operate on? You're going to have to find that out. But see, the word is going to have to be practiced. It's going to have to be done. We're dealing with the unseen. I don't feel any better. I don't see anything that has changed on the outside of me. I don't see anything that, but wisdom, but the knowledge I have says I'm well. The knowledge says by his stripes I was healed. Now, am I going to operate? There's two wisdoms. Am I going to operate in the wisdom of, well, I'm still hurting and I'm still feeling bad Am I going to operate in which wisdom? You're going to operate in a wisdom. But you're going to, if you operate in the seen wisdom, anybody can do that. You don't need to read the Bible for 2 seconds. You don't need to seek, you don't need to pray one iota. It don't matter. You don't need to. Why? Because anybody can go follow their feelings. That's the easy, or what you see in the natural. See, we did, Wanda and I did the same things when we found out about prosperity. We found out about prosperity with very little cash. But we started operating in the wisdom of what we believed. We heard and believed. We started operating and we started giving based on the Bible, not based on what we had, what we could see. We had a higher wisdom. We had an unseen. Our wisdom was based on unseen. Wasn't based on seen. Because if we operated on what we'd have seen, we wouldn't have gave. We would have thought, you know, it's like one Christian came to me one time and got over on welfare, giving them stuff and doing things. And they said, boy, God has really blessed us. I said, yeah, anybody that don't work, God will bless them. I said, you just go to welfare, they'll give you something. I said, you don't have to be no Christian to get that. I said, you got it. Because you went and signed up for it and you didn't have nothing, so they did. I said, say, God did it. Well, did you get more than what they would give you if you were? No, you just get the same thing everybody else gives. That's just the way it is. I say, God's blessing me. No, they're taking money from somebody else and giving it to you. They didn't ask me if I wanted to pay for that. Did they ask you? I'm not against helping people, but I am against all the lying Christian junk that goes on out here on the things of God doing stuff. It ain't nothing to do with God at all. Don't deceive yourself with that kind of dumb talking. Don't deceive yourself with your with unbelieving talking and say it's God, because it'll just lead you into further unbelief and you'll just get further and further away from God through lies. There's times that I said, God, you know what? You did something for me in spite of all of my stupidity. I sure didn't do nothing. And I ended up getting good. Thanks a lot. I didn't go talk like I was some kind of believer. And boy, God just blessed me. You know, you don't lie to yourself about things. But learn to operate. We're going to go on and look at concerning things of wisdom. But learn to the things around you. What wisdom am I going to use? What am I going to do? See, don't, if you use the word of God in a thing, just from a spiritual, I'm just being spiritual, I'm saying the word of God and I'm making a confession. But if I'm not acting, what, I'm not using wisdom. There's not wisdom being used. Don't get over just, there's so much, that, like today I say there's a cliche Christianity. It's a lot of talk. It's phrases that are used that are absolutely meaningless, that doesn't produce anything, because people don't do nothing with it. They just say these things, you know. All things are possible to him that believeth. Yeah, 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 they say that. And then tell you all that they can't get. And all that ain't working. And all this. Because it's an, even though it's a true statement, it's no more than a cliche spoken. Because it's all just things said out there. It's not things acted on. And so we need to get past that. You know, God answers prayer. You know, every time I hear that, it just almost makes me cringe, because it's almost always used in the wrong context. God answers prayer. And what it's just to a person that can never get their prayer answers. They say God answers prayer. They stick it on a bumper sticker. God answers prayer. And it's like I have said before, most of the time you go, there's people that say God answers prayer, and then they'll be, yes, sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no. Then he don't answer. If he doesn't, what's the point of answering me saying no? Just, you ain't going to do it. Get over it. You know, I ain't going to bother praying the next time. Why bother with him? See, we have these nice little religious talk that we do, and people do it, and they think there's a significance to it. Yet there's nothing, it doesn't produce anything but more unbelief among people. You don't want to do things that hurt your faith. You want to do things that learn to inspire your faith. You know, you don't owe a person an answer. If you can't, you know, sometimes there's people just don't answer them. It's best to stay silent. Don't go to their playing field. You go in their playing field, they'll lick you every time. I make them come to mine. I make Christians come to the Bible playing field. And most of the Christians can't get on the field. They don't know enough about the Bible to come on the field. All they know is talk. But they don't know how to play the game. And they don't know what to do with somebody that can play the game. They don't know a thing about it. All they are is yellers from the sideline. That's all they ever do. but they think somehow they're playing the game. They're like these people with football and any other sport. You know, they get all riled up and get their cheering and everything going on, and they'll spend all their money buying tickets for games and doing stuff, and they scream, and you think they call them fans, but those people, they don't do nothing on the field. They just keep making those guys rich, and they do nothing but pay out of their pocket to make them rich. And what do you get out of the thing? You know, after a while they don't win, you're yelling at them, you're mad at them anyhow. So you go through this whole stupid thing trying to have a good time through somebody else's effort. That is most Christians today. Let me read the book about all the miracles. Let me get a book that tells me all this stuff. We don't have them. We want to read about the ones who do. And we want to see this. I want them to tell me about these things. No, I want to have them. I'm not interested in just sitting around listening to other people talking about it. All it does is make me mad that I didn't have it. I say, dear Lord, God, I won't take it! Instead of, give me another book. Write another book telling them that I can pay for. And then I'll act like I'm a big believer because I believe the book. But we do that. You can use things like these to encourage you, but we're too much of gaining knowledge, looking at things and stuff, and not as much from the standpoint of doing. It's using wisdom. I can say this truthfully. If I look from the back as younger as a boy, there was more wisdom from the standpoint probably used, because if I go back years ago, people, general public in themselves, had a much more higher respect for the things of God, and people would even do things and follow in line with them than today they won't. And this is one of the things that we don't see as much today, is because wisdom, there can't be wisdom, because you can't move away from the knowledge of God and begin over into other things and not practice the word is the only way wisdom is gained. And so they don't ever gain wisdom. And so today we're in a really a huge dilemma is in that area, is in the practice of the word, is the practice of it, is to do it. Wisdom. See, the word says this. And I'm just telling you, it's not easy. It's not something easy to do, because whenever you step out in the areas of faith, most people want to have first, if I get goosebumps, and then I have a real good feeling about this thing, and I have, then we're going to, well, then most people are going to do that. That's what they go through. Well, you know, or they at least need four other people to say to them, it's all right to do that. You know, it's all right to head that direction. You know, they're going to call a ministry somewhere and ask them, well, my preacher said this, but what do you think? And they'll call some unbelieving something or other. They'll call somebody that don't even know where you're coming from. That's why you call them, because you don't want to tell them really where you're at. Because if you did that, they would sure think different of you. And let's get real about this stuff, folks. Let's get real about these things. As we sit down, you need to look in the Word for yourself. You need to get answers for yourself and don't call around people and all that stuff. If all this stuff really did work, we would have a genius Christianity today. These ministries are not producing geniuses, they're producing idiots who are dependent on everybody else but God. People are not dependent on God anymore. They have to try to get everything from somebody else. They won't search for wisdom. I can tell you this. I don't watch like on TV or anything. I don't watch and listen to other ministers and that stuff, ministries per se and that stuff. What I do is the Bible. I want to know something. I find out from God. I ask questions and I go to the Bible. I go to the scriptures and I go find out. I go dig to find out. I want to know. There's things that I want to know. See, I want to keep up that practice. I'm not running around to somebody else trying to find out stuff all the time. I'll never ask anybody else about it. It'll teach us. You know, I have notes up here, but this morning I knew getting up. I know how God uses me is, you know, I got to come up here and let the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do in this thing instead of just doing His thing in here. But, you know, you make sure you study the Word of God, because you got to know what the Word of God says. You can't preach, you don't know what it says. And going around and trying to find everybody else to find out, we have too much of that today. Our people are always trying to find out what somebody else knows and don't take the time to stop and have a relationship with God and get God wisdom. The major things that I have gotten wisdom for on what to do and how to act things out concerning with health and finances, they all came by revelation to me. I didn't have never asked anybody else about them or anything like that. I found out studying the Word. I got certain principles for people, but the major revelations that I got, that I learned to walk in and do stuff and practice wisdom, I got by going after God. Took revelation that I had and I started writing. I wanted to find out, what do I need to do? How do I need to do this thing? I want to find it because I wanted to get to the point. I wanted to go to the point. I wanted to have the healing. I didn't want to have to, I don't want to talk about it. I want to have it. I wanted to have things. I wanted things to work. You know, I wasn't, you know, putting money in and then going to ask you, why ain't it working? You know, I want things to work. I want things to find out things. But see, you put yourself in a position where God will speak to you. Jesus, you know, said, if you seek, you'll find. If you knock, it'll be open to you. Now, he said, if you seek, you're going to find. If you knock, it's going to be open to you. So in other words, if you don't seek, if you just go to church and listen to the preacher to have it, you're not seeking. That's not seeking. And anybody could walk in here today who's never even, don't even know God, could walk in and get something. They could come in here and sit down. They went to seek 10 seconds. Do you know what that word seek means? It means to search for something as if it's lost. I want to ask you, did you come to church even like that today? Did you even come with the idea as if I'm after something like it's been lost? Man, you'd have been in the door here a half an hour early. If you thought it was lost, you're going to have to try to find it. Okay, I'll shut up. Good preaching, folks. And I'm just telling you, there's things I learned, and that's one of the acting on the Word of God. That's wisdom. Don't say you're seeking when you just do it just like everybody else does it. You ain't seeking. You're doing the same thing everybody else does it. If you thought something was lost, you thought your car keys were lost, would you go do something else and go do some other things and go around, and then we'll get back over here to say that. No. You'd be running around yelling at the kids, yelling at the husband yelling at the wife, and they're all running around looking, we got to find these keys, but I don't know where to put my keys. Boy, they're going after it. That's exactly what to be doing. Now, that's what that's talking about. They're looking for something like it's lost. That's what that scripture's talking about. Now, we've turned it into a nice little American thing, and we put Facebook seek. You just keep looking at all the people that said things. If somebody talk about it, and you can put your thing on there, and then you'll get 500 people. We'll send back to you what they think. I'm searching now. I'm seeking now. Driving down the road, 50 mile an hour, seeking. Oh, yeah. I see them all day. You go out on the road all day. At least half the people have got their phone in their face. You know, it used to be young people did it. Now it's of any age. They're all got their phone in their face. Driving down the road, ain't paying no more attention. You realize how many accidents we're having now with only one car involved, running off the road, hitting people, hitting stuff? I mean, it's all the time. It's constant. I mean, people running off the road, just running into things, now killing other people, you know, sitting down there and can't get off their phone, can't get that phone out of their face. That phone goes, and they cannot let that thing alone. People don't realize that's demonic. That's demonic when you can't allow that thing. That I got. What if it's important? How many have you gotten that's important? I want to know. I ain't got one yet. When I was driving down the road, after I stop and I look at my phone, I have never had something important I had to give. Never one time. Never once. And that's 99.9% of the rest of drivers too. Let me just say this to you. If you have to grab that thing and look at it right, you have a spirit of fear. That's your problem. You're afraid. You're afraid something's going to happen to somebody and you're not going to know about it. What if this happened? It's called fear. Fear is never God. It is always demonic. Every time you yield to it, you're yielding to the devil. Every time you yield to it. Now that puts it plain. You got to get past that fear thing. If you learn to listen to God, before I ever had a cell phone, God would always tell me if something was coming up that I needed to know. Always. And He still does. I don't need the cell phone to find out. If you need the cell phone to find out, it's because you don't know God. You ain't paying no attention. Our cell phone can't be our God. Kenneth Hagin said this, and I learned it. He talked about, back years ago, use an alarm clock. He said, anything you use in the natural to take the place of something you can use your spirit for, your human spirit for, he said, it's going to affect your spirituality. Like he said, never wake up. He never use an alarm clock. See, I've learned to get up without alarm. I can wake up. I set myself a time before I go to bed. I just say, I'm going to wake up at this time. And I wake up. See, my own human spirit. Ain't the Holy Ghost don't wake me up. My own human spirit wakes me up. My home human spirit can do that. Yours can too. Well, it's the same way. You get over relying on the cell phone for things that God would normally do. You're going to stay over in an area of lack of spirituality. You use things where you don't use your spirit. You become more spiritual by using your spirit. Picking things up in your spirit. Not letting it go. I can use something natural. The more you yield to natural, the more you're going to need that. See, when I learned that, I thought, what Kenneth Hagin said about that thing with the phone, I thought, I'm going to have to set myself to do that. So I started, and I was surprised how quickly I could do that. I was surprised how quickly I started doing the things where I could just say, you know, I could like go to bed and I say, I want to wake up 3:30 in the morning. I just say, before I go to bed, I'm going to wake up at 3:30 in the morning. And I'll wake up at 3:30 in the morning. My spirit will wake me up. See, over there, practicing that. Well, see, there's a sensitivity that you're helping your spirit to develop in doing that. And when God wants to get a hold of you about something, you'll find out the Holy Spirit can easily get a hold of you in the inside because your spirit's been made sensitive about this by use. See, this wisdom thing, by use. You don't use it. There's a thing, it don't work. But you got to learn to use it. And I learned to do that. Anything you do, there's nothing matter with having a cell phone. There's nothing matter with having physical things. But when you start using them to replace things from a spiritual standpoint, and we do today, we become reliant on things that we used to rely on our spirits. Before cell phones, we didn't have all that stuff. Well, how did people do things? Well, number one, we were a lot happier lives, but we didn't have those things irritating us all the time and, you know, like if people want to talk to you, and as soon as their phone goes, they got to look. Just a minute, I have to take this. And I'm just very cordial about it. I say, look, when you get done, you can spend time and talk. Let me know, but I'm going. Goodbye. You know. See, people have lost. People don't. They aren't cordial to other people anymore. We've gotten such rude lives with these stupid phones. We show no respect to other people. These things mean everything to us. See, we got to stop this stuff. Folks, it's affecting our faith, and it affects what God will do for you. You can't treat people like that and do that kind of stuff. Don't tell people you love them and what you love. Say, I love my phone, and I like you. So, but I'm going to stick with what I love here. We drive down the road. We got a text while we're driving down the road. Why? I love my phone more than I don't care that guy cross if I cross over there and kill him. That's too bad. You think God don't see that stuff? This is good preaching, folks. You don't show love to other people. And see, people say, well, I walk in love. I'm nice to people. You know, I feed the poor. And I try to kill them on the road then. We need to get over there. This area is of acting in love, doing things. Hallelujah. We have a wisdom, but it's not of God. It's not a wisdom that we have here. It's a wisdom of this world. These are areas that have to be cleared up. We want to move of God. These areas have to be cleared. There's things that become important to us. And I encourage us because we have lost a lot of wisdom. If I go back, you know, years ago when I first came into the kingdom, the people walked in a higher level of wisdom than they do today in the church world. Much higher level of wisdom was used in the church realm. It was much higher than it is today. And we have replaced wisdom with all knowledge. Of all we know. Well, if people who knew less could get more done with God than the guy who knows a lot, what does that say? Why haven't people wakened up to this? See, that's why just knowledge puffs up. You think you're at the top when you're not. That's what just getting on the knowledge bandwagon is. The more knowledge I can gain. It isn't how much knowledge, it's how much you can do of the Word of God. That's where it's at. Not how much you can know, it's how much you can do. And you'll go much further on what you do than just knowing a lot. It's what you do. Hallelujah. Because the doer of the word is blessed. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And this is one thing, just keep on the action of the practice of the Word of God, to do with the Word of God. If you don't know what to do and it's concerning acting, because there's sometimes I've asked the Lord, sometimes I've done what I've known, and I'll ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything else that I need to be doing? You let me know. There's something else that I need to do. See, I'm gonna do whatever I can to act out, because I have learned the power of acting on the Word of God. I don't know what's anything more powerful than when you really, to me, the acting on the Word's like lighting the fuse of your faith. That's what blows that's what blows things up. It's like a stick of dynamite. Till somebody puts the blasting cap in it and then sets that cap off, I don't care how much dynamite you got in you, it doesn't matter. It's not going to produce anything till that thing is set off. And you got to put a cap in there, and whatever they do, whether it's a fuse or whatever, or you just use electricity and set that thing and blow it up. But your actions are really what sets that thing off. So your faith inside of you, you're believing the Word and you're saying the Word. That's a good thing. You got that thing out there. Now let's get it to blow up. Now we want that thing going off. And sometimes you're going to run into the things of, because you can't come up with canned action. Sometimes there's certain things you have to do, and you need to ask God, God, what do I need to do? Sometimes the Lord's told me, I want you to go do this or that. Next time, a similar situation, He wanted me to do something else. An action in that. See, this, you can't leave God out of this thing. It can't become some kind of canned thing where somebody can write a book. We've had too much of this. You know, you believe this, do this, do this. Each thing like that. I wish it would work like that. Then none of us would never study we never need to study the Word. And the people who buy those kinds of books, they don't study. They just go stewing those things. But you got the Holy Ghost in you. You wouldn't need the Holy Ghost in you if you could just have just canned this whole thing. You wouldn't need Him. But you do, because you need to listen to Him on what you have to do. Listen to Him on the inside, what He's telling you to do, to act on. Just like when I ask Him, Lord, what does it mean to act on the Word? What do I need to do? Show me, Lord. I want to know what to do. Well, He showed me. It didn't seem so exciting at the time. You know, I might have thought, maybe I shouldn't ask. But I'm so thankful, though. What if I would thought about it? What if I hadn't asked or sat down? Just let that bypass, and I'd have just walked around confessing the Word and just, you know, saying I believe it and confess it. Nothing ever happened. And I would have probably arrived at a place of saying, you know, His faith stuff don't work. His faith stuff ain't working. No, faith stuff works. The faith thing works, folks. But see, I wasn't working it. I was partially doing it. I stuck the cap in there. I even said the cap was in that thing. I even said, that thing blow up. As soon as I acted on the Word, I set that in motion, and that thing went off. And I got healing. Hallelujah. And see, learn to do that concerning the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things is, like, I've noticed this about Christians who get born again and who live a weak Christian life. You know why? They don't ever live or act like they're born again. They don't start walking and talking. They'll say, well, I don't know. I just don't feel right. And I just don't feel like I'm saved. I just don't. See, they walk around acting. Their whole action is that. The more you talk like you got something, don't be surprised you have something. See, your actions. You get your actions behind. That's wisdom. Get your wisdom behind, you know, what you're doing. Get your wisdom. Get your mouth in behind the thing. Yep, hallelujah, praise God, I'm born again, I'm a child of God. Glory to God, hallelujah. You know? Say, well, you know, I just don't feel like today, man. I just say, man, you guys just need to pray for me. Lay your hand on me, bring me out. I don't even know if God's with me anymore. I'm not sure what happened. Somebody lay their hands on my head. And I'm serious. This morning, I was walking back and forth here. I was praying and looking at some stuff. I'm walking back and forth here praying. And I'm like, you talk about dead. I'm praying. And it's like, boy, this is just, you know, like, I might as well have been saying twinkle. I felt like I would be just twinkle, twinkle, little star. How I wonder what you are. I mean, there was no anointing. I'm praying back, walking back and forth here. And I said to the Lord, Lord, you better get anointing this morning. Because if it ain't anointed, there ain't no energy to bring this one out. You know, you're walking back. Well, God, because see, you have to depend on the anointing. And say, praise God. You know, when I get up there, the anointing's going to be in. And I'm thinking, oh man, I'm so glad. You know what I was thinking? We were down here worshiping. I said, I couldn't wait to get up there to get the anointing on, because I felt so dead down here. I'm serious. I mean, I just did, you know, if I don't want to say, you know, man, I must be backslid or something. Something must be wrong. But you go there, you just praise God. I go up, the anointing is going to come. You know, I sure would want to come up here and try to preach it without it. But see, you got to act it out. You got to act like it's true. And see, it's wisdom. It's wisdom. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so when I go, I don't have to worry, because the anointing will come. It will come. Hallelujah. And we just keep acting out. Even though it seems dead, I'm just going to keep acting out. I'm going to act like I'm anointed, but ain't no anointing there at all. I'm going to act like God's moving. Well, hallelujah. Because He is. It's true. I cannot see it. I can't feel it. But it is true. It is the truth. See, it's wisdom. Acting like it's true when you can't see it or feel it. Father, I just thank You this morning. Father God, I thank You, Father God, that You're raising this people up. You're raising them up. Hallelujah. Lord God, into a place to walk in this day and time.